thank the Lord this morning for His blessings. And as the song asks the question, I sure trust that each one of you know the Savior this morning. If you don't, you are missing out on something really wonderful.
Yes, amen.
Appreciate the faithfulness of the Lord during this meeting. Appreciate each one of you that has made special effort. Welcome you this morning. And I know there are some that have traveled diligently for many miles to support this meeting. Trust the Lord will give you a special blessing as well for your sacrifice. Desire a special interest in your prayers this morning as we look into the Word of God. The title of the message is Together. Renee, will you write it for me, please? Look around here this morning and you're my family. And I hope you'll be willing to claim me as your family too. We have, if you're saved this morning, we've got a common father. And we've got a common brother. And we may come from different backgrounds. And we have different personalities. We have different strengths and we have different weaknesses this morning. But we are family. We're part of the family of God this morning, and I am just really thankful for my family this morning. I look out over you all, and I listen to the songs being sung. I sat there and watched different ones gathering in this morning, and there's not one of you that I thought I wish they weren't in my family. But I'm glad, I'm thankful to be part of you all this morning. You're a blessing. And as I listen to some of the testimonies that were during prayer requests, that was about family. That's what that was about. It was about those that maybe went through a difficult time and without even really knowing it, family just kind of stepped in and filled in some gaps when there was a need. That's what family does. Family, it's not about who's recognized. It's not about someone getting a plaque on the wall saying this person gave this much or brought this or did that. It's just about there's a need there and someone quietly stepping in and filling that need because of love. And that's what we have that is so valuable. Aside from Christ Jesus Himself, it's that when we follow the Lord, it gives us family. If you come from a broken home this morning, if you come from maybe you are in a marriage that there are great difficulties, or maybe as a child there was trouble in your home, I want you to know this morning you are part of a loving family that embraces you and accepts you, and we're just glad you're here that we can be part in fellowship together. We can stand together. We can work together. We can cry together sometimes, and we can laugh together. I'm assuming here in this congregation, most of the congregations have some kind of either a WhatsApp group or something that you can share prayer requests. At home a few weeks ago, you know, we share serious things, and it's normally serious, but something was said, and we all just kind of chimed in one of those light moments. And you know, I thought, that's not unspiritual. That's not unspiritual. I believe I put on there, sometimes we cry together, but it's good for God's people to also be able to laugh together and enjoy, think life together. God did not create us to be these sober, we're so spiritual that we can't smile and enjoy life. The Lord created us that we can enjoy life more because of the Lord in our life. We sang the song, Happy in the Savior. When we are in the Savior, it brings happiness. But I also want to acknowledge and give God thanks for our spiritual family this morning. I thank God for you. And if you are in a low place or you are struggling this morning, there are people here that do love you. And there are people here that will help carry your burden. And Sister Francisco, I don't know you well, but your request moved me and touched me this morning. And I'm going to take that home with me. Because if I were in that place, I would want to know, it would bring some comfort to me to know that someone else was entering into that burden with me. I've been in trials and battles, and it was God's people that quietly stepped up to the plate It helped carry me and my family through some places that when we were struggling and there were those that stepped in with love, there were those that stepped in to support, there were those that stepped in with their prayers. You know, there's a security in that. And I would that in a greater way, in this last service of this revival meeting, that we can know that there is security and there are blessings in togetherness. If you will turn with me to the book of Revelation, the 7th chapter, John received a vision. The 7th chapter of Revelation, in the 9th verse, he said, I beheld and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number. And take note here as we read the rest of this, where these people came from. It said, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues. And they stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and with palms in their hands. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne under the Lamb. There was a great multitude that had a common cause and a common purpose. And that cause and that purpose was to worship the Lord. It was to give God glory. And they came from all different backgrounds. Now, if we look around this morning, I dare say that we come from some different backgrounds. When I moved from the West Coast many years ago, and I was 18 years old, and I moved from Oregon. And if y'all know anything about where I said y'all, I've been in the Midwest longer than I was in Oregon. You come back in the Midwest, and I'll tell you, people are people, but there's a difference in culture. If you go down south, there's another culture. Even within the U.S., without going outside the borders of our own country, there are differences in culture. There are some differences in practice. When we moved to Missouri, to Springfield, there were a number in the congregation, and they are from an agricultural background. Now, I was a city boy. And, you know, I've never had a cow in my life. Now, I hope you'll still listen to me this morning, because I know some of y'all are farmers, and I'd have to ask some questions sometimes. Now, what about this? And you think, well, what do you know? You know nothing. But I can maybe do some other things that maybe it's not helping the cow out, and I don't know a lot about planting crops, but I can maybe work on your computer, and I can do some other things, and I can maybe help you with a math problem. But I came from a different background. But do you know that in the family of God, those things are relatively unimportant? Because what binds us together this morning is not that we're from the city or from the farm. It's not because one person is educated and someone's not. It's not because one person is one color and someone else is another color. It's not because you speak English and someone else speaks Spanish and someone else speaks another language. That's not what brings us together this morning. We have something greater than our differences this morning. We have a common goal to make heaven our home. We have a common purpose, and all those other differences are relatively unimportant because we're family this morning. If you pass through the blood of Jesus, we are one in Christ. And as we live together, as we worship together in the local congregation, as well as in the extended body of Christ, the Lord would have us to remember the blessings that come from walking together. There's power in togetherness. The scripture in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, and usually, a lot of times you hear this preached at weddings. The scripture says, Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9, it says, two are better than what? Than one. Now, we've got more than two here this morning. Do you know it ought to be pretty great here this morning? Two are better than one because, and he gave us a reason, because they have a good reward for their labor. Now, I know this scripture actually, it does reference marriage. And that's not our burden this morning. But two are better than one because there's good reward for their labor. Have you ever been with someone and you accomplished a job and you were able to share that sense of satisfaction? You worked hard, you accomplished a goal, and there was something about the togetherness of working together and seeing something accomplished that could actually draw you closer together. Well, it says if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Do you know there's a blessing to walk together this morning? It is a dangerous thing, and this is a little warning, to get an independent attitude and think that I don't need the body of Christ. I've got a relationship with God, and so God and I have our own thing going, and I don't need anyone else. Do you realize that all of us go through difficult times, and we need our brothers and sisters to help hold us up? We need one another to encourage one another, to strengthen one another, to listen to one another, to learn from one another. And that's why the Scripture exhorts us to forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. The end time is approaching quickly. And we need the support because we are being inundated with pressure from the world. And it helps to be able to come together with our family on a regular basis to keep us focused, to help keep us balanced. I found that many times when people, even that are saved, they pull off to themselves and get isolated from the people of God, many times they tend to start getting a little bit off balance. Because I have strengths and weaknesses, and you have strengths and weaknesses. So where I am weak, I need your strength to keep me balanced in my understanding, in my perspectives, and in my approach, even in my service of the Lord. We need one another this morning. And it's important for us to recognize the value of togetherness. I have traveled, and I know there's others here. There's two or three, four others. Actually, there's more than that. There's many of you I see that have traveled internationally and in mission work. And you know, I found myself on more than one occasion. There have been many times I've traveled by myself. But I found that times that I was in trouble, the Lord had had favor and had a companion with me. Sometimes it was some of you. Sometimes it was my wife. Sometimes it was one of my boys. But there was value. There was value that when I was in trouble, there was someone that could help carry the load. There is someone that could help support. There's someone that could step up in working together. There is strength in that. There is value in that. And in all of our lives this morning, we need each other. We need one another, saints. And you're valued. You are very important to the work of God. You are important to your family this morning. And when one family member draws back, that's a good illustration. Guess what happens? You fall. When a member draws back, it causes a dysfunction in the rest of the family. It causes dysfunction because no one can fill the place in the body like you can. And if you think that, well, nobody cares, and if I'm not there, no one's going to miss me, that is not true.
Amen.
Is that right? Yeah, sure. It's not true. We need you this morning. We need what you have to offer to the body of Christ. The Lord wants to use all of us in His body. And there's value. Albert Barnes made this comment. He said, a man without companions is like the left hand without the right. To work and function properly and to accomplish something, you can get a lot more done with two than you can one. That's called synergy. You can get more accomplished together. The Lord wants to work with us, yes, individually, but He wants us to work together that He can accomplish His purpose in our lives. Scripture says, and it's oft quoted, in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 32, it says, how should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight? I've seen a t-shirt people wear, and I've seen it in the stores. It says an army of one. Have y'all seen that one? There are some people act like they're an army of one. Don't mess with me. I don't need anybody else. I can take care of it. I'll tell you what, we are not an army of one this morning. We are a group of people that have entered through the blood of Jesus, knit together with a common cause, that together we can fight the enemy. There have been times in battles of life throughout the years, I know in our lives, and I know you can testify to it in your life, that times that you were fighting the battle, it was a source of strength for someone to be there and help fight the devil with you. You are not in this battle alone. We're going to stand here. We're going to be with you until the victory comes. The victory does not always come overnight, but it's a blessing to have someone that will enter into the burden until the victory does come. That's one of the reasons the Lord gave us one another.
Yes.
That's one of the reasons we're in the body of Christ. There's danger in isolation. You know, I know during the last 2 years, there have been occasions that we've all had to do this. We maybe had a service from home, you know, and streamed it out, and we stayed home and watched services. And I'm so thankful that that was available. That was a blessing when we could not come together. But you know, there is no substitute.
No.
You say, well, I'll stay at home and I'll get it. I don't need to go physically. I'll just stay at home and I'll listen to the message as if we satisfied our quota for the week. There is a strength that is drawn from each other when we come together collectively to worship God. So I encourage us in the fear of God and in His love this morning, let's recognize the value of coming together and not allow the benefits of technology to hinder us from making some sacrifices to come and be together. Because I can look it from home, but there's something else when we can sing together and we can pray together and I can hear your testimonies and you can encourage me. We draw from one another. And we need to continue to do that. May the Lord help us. Over in the book of Psalm, in Psalm chapter 55, in the 14th verse, it said we took sweet counsel together. And we walked in the house of God in company. Psalm 55:14. We took sweet counsel together. In other words, we consulted one another. You know, there is value in opening your heart and mind to other people. None of us have it all figured out. And it's helped in a multitude of counselors. There is wisdom. There is value in us just being able to come together and share and talk and communicate. And he said we had sweet counsel together. And he said we walked into the house of God in company. We found happiness in being together, in worshiping together, and going, because we were engaged in the same service. We were going into the house of God to worship, lovers of the same truth. This is one of the other reasons why it's really important for us to get out to camp meetings. Because sometimes we can start feeling a little bit isolated, even our own congregations. And there is great value to go and fellowship with other of God's people, because that helps keep us balanced too.
Amen.
You know, there are congregations, some congregations, we all have certain strengths and weaknesses, not only individually, but in our congregations. And there is benefit for us coming together in worship, in the Lord, worshiping the Lord together, and we can learn from one another, challenging one another. I remember one time I was in Ghana, and there were a lot of spiritual difficulties. And by the time I left, I was mentally and physically and spiritually exhausted. And from there, I went on to Nigeria. And I remember getting out of the car, walking towards the chapel. And I heard these same songs that we were singing this morning. I heard them being sung. And I remember what happened in my heart. I thought, I'm home. I'm home. There were people there that loved God. There were people there that were sincere in what they were doing. And I was like, I'm home. They spoke a different language. They were a different color. They were of a different tribe. But we were knit together in the Spirit of Christ. And I was home.
Amen.
You know, this morning we look around and see differences. No, we have something great, far greater in common than any differences this morning. God's people are not a segregated people. We are not segregated by tongue. We are not segregated by color. We're not segregated from what part of the country he came from. We are one in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There is one body this morning. The world, I'm saddened at what's happening in our world today. They can talk about being separate and this one going this way and this nationality going that way and this race over here. Folks, in God's people, that ought not to be so. We are one family. We are of one blood in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Value that. Love that. Stand by that. And there are rich blessings of God. There are so many different religious organizations and churches in our world today. But God has one bride. God has one church this morning. And that church is composed of everybody that has been saved from their sin and has entered in through the blood of Jesus Christ. There are some people that are in the church of God and they don't even know it. But I'm thankful this morning to know that I'm part of the family of God. I'm thankful to know the truth that there is one body. It is not God's will for there to be a different group on every street corner. God has one bride. There is one faith. There is one Spirit. There's one baptism. There is one head, and that's Jesus Christ. It's not man. It's not an organization of men. It's not, well, this is our background, so we're going to have our own separate worship. That's not of God. There is one church this morning, one true church, and that is the church of God. And that is the foundation of our togetherness.
Yes.
Now, the scripture in Amos 3:3, it asks a question. It says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Kind of hard to walk with someone too closely that you're not in agreement with, isn't it? Can two walk together except they be agreed? So what do we agree about this morning? Do you know that there are going to be some differences from time to time? You ever have any differences with someone in your family? Brothers and sisters, that you always see eye to eye perfectly. Do you know in the family of God, we're still human. We still have personalities. We still have opinions. But we are to walk in agreement with the Word of God and in His Holy Spirit. I know y'all are in the middle of a chapel project here. We're just fixing to start. And I told the congregation a couple weeks ago, I said, you know, you all might want it blue and I might want it green. But I said, it really doesn't matter. What God really doesn't care. You know that? That really doesn't matter to the Lord. I mean, He'd probably be all right with pink. That's not really what's important. We might have some strong opinions on that one, especially go to polka dots. But do you realize that those things are relatively unimportant? What God values more is the unity.
Yes.
And the love that we have one for another. Even when maybe I don't see it exactly that way, or that's my preference and that's your preference, can we learn how to defer to one another? With a good attitude and a right spirit, when there are differences, that we can come in, and y'all might have some things to share with me, and I'm not preaching because I know of any problems, okay? I just know that there's a lot of decisions that you have to start making, but you know, the togetherness is more important than all of the details of these temporal things in life. What is so much more important are the spiritual things. Loving God. Loving one another, walking in truth, having our heart open. If the Word teaches it, then I want to embrace that, even if my opinions seem a little different, I don't understand it. But if it's in the Word of God, then Lord, that's what I want to come to. That's where we walk this morning. That's the power of the unity of God's people. That's why the Scripture says, behold, how good and how blessed it is, pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in what? In unity. And the Scripture goes on, the last verse of that psalm, it says, and there the Lord commanded the blessing forevermore. If you want a blessing, there is a great blessing found in togetherness. Walking with each other, valuing one another. Thank the Lord for that. The Lord wants us to be perfectly joined together this morning. Our allegiance is to Christ. It is to His Word. But then that brings us closer and closer together, doesn't it? We acknowledge that there's going to be some minor differences. And you know, we need to have enough spiritual maturity to this morning to recognize that there are going to be some minor differences sometimes. I did hear an amen there. That is true. The Word of God, it's not dependent upon my opinions or your opinions, all right? The Word of God is fixed. However, there are some things that are not spelled out in black and white in the Scripture. There is principle and there is the Spirit that will lead us. And I believe this morning that when we have a sincere heart to follow God, we're going to come together and we're not going to be too far different in the Lord. I believe that. But I look at, even in the early morning church, do you know they had some issues sometimes? There were some differences in the early morning church, and we need to be big enough and spiritually mature enough in this dispensation to recognize that, yes, from time to time there are going to be some minor differences, but Lord, help us to seek to learn to walk together more than we're willing to cut off. Yes. Be more willing to accept and receive someone that is living without the sinful moral violations in their life. Be more willing to accept their testimony than to reject it. There's value in that togetherness. There is one body, isn't there? Mention that over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, very familiar. There is one body, but it said He hath, there are many members in that one body, and we are to be tempered together. And it is not for one member to look at the other and say, well, I have no need of you. Is there anybody here that we don't need this morning? Is there anybody here that's really not important? And you know, sometimes we can start feeling that way. I found the Lord can do without me. I know He can. I know He can do, but He wants all of us and He can use all of us. And there is no one this morning that can fill the place in the body of Christ just like you. So, Lord, help us to recognize the importance of the different parts of the body of Christ. There are different administrations. There are different ways of leadership. There are differences of gifts. There are differences of operation. But what the Lord is looking for, that His Spirit can lead and have us walking together. That the world could look on and they could see us knit together in love. Did not Jesus say that was the identifying mark of His disciples? By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have what?
Love.
If you have love. So how's our love this morning? That was the identifying mark. Now, over in some countries, I think about in Kenya, oftentimes going down the road, you'll see people wearing a certain color of hat. Maybe a white hat with a red band on it. That's their identifier. We go to the same church. We could pass out colored hats this morning. So if you're in town, oh, that's one of the brothers. See the hats? And everybody could say, oh, I know where you go because of the hat. You know, that's not what Jesus wanted for our identification. Jesus wanted us to be identified by the world because of the love that we have one for another.
Yes.
That means love in our differences. It means love where we're on the same page. It means love when someone is strong, and it means love when my brother is weak. That is the identifying mark of God's people. So, Lord, this morning, help me to love the brethren more. Help me to love my family a little more. Help me to learn how to appreciate and express that love more, because that was God's will, that we walk this life together. Well, there are many members, but there is diversity too. In this congregation here that's gathered here, there's a lot of diversity.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that is not a weakness? You know that diversity in Christ is our strength? That is a strength. Think about the disciples. Weren't they different? You say, well, there's this one personality type. If everybody was like that, we'd really get a lot done. No, we need our Peters. We need the Peters that are kind of a little impulsive and just ready to jump in. Lord, if that's you, I'll jump out of the boat. Thank God for people with that kind of faith. And then we've got the Thomases. And the Lord wants us all to have faith. But the Thomases are just kind of want to wait and see, want to be sure of this thing now. And sometimes the Thomases will wear on the nerves of the Peters. And the Thomases are thinking, Peter, just slow down. Do you recognize that that is what causes God's people to be a strong people?
True.
That's what makes congregations work effectively, when we can appreciate the strengths of one another and also allow others to temper us in our weaknesses. You have Matthew, who was probably, because of his job as a tax collector, he was probably an educated man. And I imagine there was some times he probably shook his hands as he listened to the unlearned speech of the fishermen, who the scripture says were ignorant and unlearned. Matthew's probably like, y'all need to go study your language a little bit. If you're going to talk to people, at least say it right. But do you know that's not where the power was? The power was in the Spirit. And they might have looked on and said, Matthew, you know, don't let your education hinder you in God's work. I mean, we want God to be glorified, and your education might get in the way. The Lord used all kinds. He used all backgrounds. But it's when we can start appreciating that as a body that we are stronger together than we are by ourselves. Are there ever any problems in family? You know, I found in family that I've heard people criticize their own family, but if they hear someone that's not part of the family say the same thing, I mean, they're ready to stand up and they're get up in arms about it. Don't talk about my family that way. Do you know there's something about family that protects?
Yes.
It doesn't mean that we're perfect humanly this morning. In family, we've got our needs. But when I married my wife, and she can talk about my faults if she wants. But, you know, when we got married, we said a vow. And this is what we said. That I will protect your reputation as I do my own. You know, I don't know, and I'm not, I'm just using this as an example. Please understand. I don't think there has been one time in our, Lord help me, 28 years of marriage that I have criticized my wife to my parents. Because that's my wife. We are joined together. And I want to protect her reputation like I want her to protect mine.
Right.
We have needs. We have faults. We're human. But you know what? We joined our lives together. And we're in this for the duration. And we're in this together. Do you know the Lord wants us to have... It doesn't mean we can't address problems as family sometimes. But it means that in family, the purpose when we address it should always be that we can come out stronger.
Amen.
It's not to gossip. It's not to talk. If there is a need for counseling, there's a place for that. But beware of this. If you're going to this one for counseling, Brother Cornelius, I really need you to pray for me. Let me tell you about my wife. And now, do you have any counsel for me? And then I go, Brother, let me tell you about, I need prayer. And I go to the next one. Pretty soon I told everybody in the congregation, and I've done it under the guise of needing prayer because my wife is doing something. That was not just seeking counsel, was it? When you're seeking counsel, it would be by just a few for the purpose of getting the spiritual help that you need. It's not about telling everybody what someone in the congregation did. That becomes gossip very quickly. So in family, we want to protect one another in the love, in the fear of God. And if there are problems and they are to be addressed, it should be for the purpose of restoration. It should be for the purpose of clearing something. It should be for the purpose of peace. And I know that sometimes there are issues that it takes some time and it takes prayer and it takes effort. But all the time, it should never minimize the love and the care that we have one for another. If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in what? Spirit of meekness. Well, Pastor, you need to take care of them. And if any of you have done that, I don't know it, okay? I'm saying this to protect Brother Ed now. But if you go and say, Brother Ed, that you know this problem, you need to take care of this. No, listen. The purpose this morning, if a man's overtaken and you go and talk to him, it is for the purpose of not cutting off. It's for the purpose of restoration. It's for the purpose of lifting up, which means if I can't do it for a positive reason, I need to go home and pray and ask God to give me a greater love for my brother or sister who might be struggling. The scripture also says this in Romans 14:1. Him that is weak in the faith, and we'll be done shortly. Him that is weak in the faith, receive him how? Anybody remember? Without doubtful disputations. Do you mean that in the family of God, there's going to be some people that are actually weak in the faith? Yes. Means there's going to be some people that aren't real strong in their faith. Means there's going to be people that don't understand everything maybe that the Lord's requiring. But we're all at a different place in our walk with God this morning. We're all in a different place. I don't expect someone in first grade to take a test of a 12th grader and get a good grade. I expect a first grader to study hard and do good at their level. We are all at different places in our walk with God this morning, and we need to be really careful about judging one another. We're family. And if someone is weak in the faith, rather than condemning them, the scripture says, receive them without doubtful disputation. Okay, well, I'll accept you, but all the time I'm going to have you at arm's length. You know, that's not what the Lord wants in family. He wants us to be more ready to embrace and bring in to the family of God than we are ready to cut off because I am so exclusive. The body of Christ is exclusive of sin. And there are some that may be weak in the faith that we embrace you as our brothers and sisters. That does not mean that you're qualified to teach Sunday school. It doesn't mean that you're qualified to preach. It doesn't mean that they're qualified to fill a position of leadership. But the essence of the message of the Church of God is that there is one body. There's one bride, and it's all those that have been forgiven of their sin. So as a body, as a congregation, as a fellowship, Lord, help us to keep our arms open, wide, and extended to embrace everyone that has been saved from their sin and washed in the blood of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Receive him that is weak in the faith without doubtful disputations. We will close this morning in the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Paul was giving encouragement to the church, to the congregation at Thessalonica, because there were those that had died and they were grieving, and he was giving them some encouragement. And in verse 17, he was talking about when the Lord comes back. He said, then we which are alive and remain. So all the dead in Christ, he said, shall rise first. And then all that are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words.
Amen.
You know what? If we will live together this morning, saints, work together, worship together, stand together, support one another, one of these days, you know what we're going to do? We're going to go to heaven
together.
Amen. Yes, we will stand individually before the throne of God, but he was telling them, those that are alive in Christ will be caught up together. I told you all the other night, I was in the cemetery in Guthrie. There's a lot of saints there. Do you know what that's going to be like when the Lord comes back? But do you realize if the Lord were to come back when we were in a meeting such as this, wouldn't that be wonderful? These are brothers and sisters that we've labored with, and when I have faults, they loved me anyway. They didn't kick me out. They cared for me. They carried me when I fell. They took care of me. They loved me. They nurtured me, and they nursed me back to spiritual health. Isn't that a blessing to have people in the family that will do that? And when the Lord comes back, He's going to catch us up together to forever be with the Lord. So let's go to heaven tonight, saints, this morning. Let's go to heaven together. And as we want to go to heaven together, let's live that way every day in our choices, in our decisions, in our interactions, one with another. Let's remember we are family. And let's let love be that common thing and that common glue that binds us together. God bless you all. Thank you all for your love. I've really enjoyed being here with you in this meeting. I appreciate the blessing of the Lord. We love all of you. You are welcome to visit us anytime. I pray that God will bless all of you in this congregation of Prague and your new chapel project, that God would just expand the work of God here. But let's do it together as a people of God. In closing, before we dismiss the service this morning, let's stand and sing the song, The Family of God. Amen.